Okay, we're in Parak Ches in Hilchos Kelayim. This is the last parak that deals with issues with a Karam. So we just have one more parak of this, which I know is a little bit complicated, especially because not all of us grow vineyards. That'll bring that area to a close. Okay, so I'm starting off with a picture first, because the Rambam is going to talk about this thing called an aris throughout these various halachas. An aris basically is this structure on the right over here, which you see is it's a way they used to grow grapevines. People still do this today, but basically the main branch is nestled on one of the poles, and the vines are draped over the top of the aris. The apipyros, right, is one of these horizontal beams that they drape the actual gefunim over. And these are other examples of aris, like an aris shalshura. Again, this is where the vines are draped over the wall. Again, these are just referring to different ways that the karam is, the grapes are grown. This is going to be important because in all our cases, we're always worried about how close can I plant, let's say, tvua or yarek. Those cases are going to come up as well. So let's go into the Rama himself. He says in Parakas Lach Aleph, HaGefanim Shigalu Kibriyasan. Right, so anytime gefanim grow naturally, meaning we plant them, but don't get involved in their growth process. So when the leaves and especially the grape clusters are grown on the ground, that's a karam, that's a vineyard. That's the picture I showed you. What the Rambam I'm saying is, if I make this structure and I drape the I'm encouraging the grapes to grow a certain way to the point where the grape clusters and branches will grow over the top of the structure. That's called an aris. The osam makanam kiotzam hen shasam hen mito or shifcha behidla lehen as nofagefen. So those beams that I was telling you, right, that you put on top of the aris, heinami krayin apipiros bedinam achayim yishbaris. That's the key. There are different halachas that apply to an aris, as we'll see in a second. Halacha beis hanateya shur acha shachamish gefanim o yeser. Okay, so if a person plants five rows or more, right? The irsan al gabi kosel gavah asara chiyotzibo. And what he does is he drapes them over a wall that, let's say, is a 10 tefachim high. Oshin natan betzad charetz amuk asara v'rocha barba. Or he plants them next to a trench that is deep, that's 10 deep and 4 in width. That's also called hari elu nikoran aris. That's also called an aris. Betzar chalharchim in aris arba amos v'archach yizra k'der shemarachim nikaram. Just like, even though this is an abnormal looking aris, traditionally aris are a real physical structure. You can build an aris in a ditch. Either way, you have to follow the rule of thumb of being 4 amos away from the vines. Halacha gimel mehecha modinin. So where do you measure from to know the distance? Meikar hagedesh irsan alav. So basically, from the base of the fence area that you're using as your aris. Ketzan here gets a shura shal gafanim in a kosa ama. So if he moved away from the row of vines that are over the wall in Amma. So he counts 4 amos from that wall and plants. And that means that there'll be 5 amos in total from the base of the vines and where he's planting. If he wants to plant next to the gefanim, so again, that's your rule of thumb. With an aris, you add that extra amma, so it's 5 amos away. Okay, and just to kind of show you what that looks like, nice picture here. One second, not this one. One second. Here are some examples of aris. You see, these are all considered arisim. You have this kind. Remember, we're looking at like a sagittal view. So here's one where the aris is draped over the wall. See how the wall's holding up the leaves. So then that means you have to measure really the total of 4 amos from the base, but going this way, right? 4 amos from the wall, which is really 5 amos from the grape itself. Okay, back to the Rambam. He says in Halacha Dalad, Echad abonis agedar v'echad nata, right? It doesn't matter if you built the fence or planted, Oshin nata v'archach asagedar, or if you planted and then built the fence, hold up arson, raise aris. Once you make an aris, it's an aris. Neras, doesn't matter when the aris is made. Neras agedar, o nista macharetz. Now let's say the gedar gets destroyed or the trench gets closed up. Inkan aris. There's no aris anymore. And what happens to these grapevines? Ella, haria kol shura kegefanim mechidim. So when that structure of aris is destroyed, but you still have grapevines, now the gefanim revert back to being solitary ones. And we know the lachas by those is 6 tefachim away. Now that's where you're allowed to plant. Halacha hey. Now, aris shecharav emsa'o. Let's say you have an aris where the middle part is destroyed. So if you have an aris that gets destroyed in the middle, I'll show you a picture in a second, and the remaining on each side of the structure is called piske aris. So if there's 8 amos and change between the remaining rows, then you only have to plant 6 tvachim away because we treat them like isolated. But you can't plant underneath any of the remaining horizontal beams. So I'll show you what that looks like. Yes, there's a lot of pictures today. Second is over here. Here is our, if you look here on the right is a normal aris with our walls on each side. Here is piske aris, where the middle part got destroyed. Okay, there's still gefunim on each side. And again, you need as long as there's an 8 amma width between the getter and the getter, then you can plant in the middle. Okay. Next, one second, halacha vav. So now the Rambam says, "Hayav b'nei shmona amos b'tzimtzum." Let's say there's exactly 8 amos between them, because remember before it's 8 amos and change. Harei lo yizur l'sham. You can't plant there. Vimzaran, if you did, hol v'herchik mikol shurosh yishet tvachem reizel kiddush. As long as it kept 6 tvachem away from the shuros of gefanim, it wouldn't produce a kodesh kilayim. Vim ein sham geder, but if there's no geder, marchik mikol shurosh yishet tvachem. There's no remaining fence. Then he has to do 6 tefachim away from each row, vizareah. Shein kan lo aris lo piske aris, because there's no geder on each side, there's no aris anymore. So now you're going back to solitary vines. Chazar bana geder, if he went back and built the fence, chazar aris lim komo, then he reestablishes the aris, the chazar piske aris lim komo. And then the piske aris go back to what they were before. Okay, lach hazayin. Gina katana. Okay, let's say a person has a small garden. Shimukafas get there that's surrounded by a fence. V'iras has a gefanim savivla, and he basically makes an aris by draping the gefanim outside. Mibachutz al kol kaslaya on all the walls. I'll show you a picture in a second. Imesh ba malik botzar v'silo. If there's enough space inside to fit the person who, let's say, harvests the grapes and his basket, who malik botzar v'silo mikan. You'll see what that is in a second. Ho v'himukafas get there. Right now, if it is if it's surrounded by the geder, zorim besocha yurakos, then I can go ahead and plant vegetables inside. But if it's not that shear, then it looks like he's planting somewhere where it's an aris, right? And there's a vegetable inside, which would be prohibited, meaning he hasn't followed those restrictions. So I'll show you what that looks like. One second. That looks like, there we go. Very nice looking fellow over here. So it has to have the amount of space for him and his basket. Then he could plant the yarek in the middle. So again, notice how he built this here. The gefanim are on the outside, but they're draped over the walls. So you can see why this could look like a problem. So that's why the Rambam isolates this case. Okay, halacha ches. Gefanim shayu zruim b'madrega gaboa. Okay, so let's say someone planted grapevines on their terrace. The harris shalahen, right, and what do you call it? And their aris yotzim sachik al asadis. So basically, the trellis and the terrace where the grapes are draped over actually covers his field. Im omei ba'aretz abotzes kulo. Now, if he's able to stand on the ground, right, reach up and harvest the grapes, ron kol makom shachas aris ki iluhu makom ikari gafanim. Then all the area underneath the aris is considered like where the grapes are located. The osar arba amos besadel choruach misfas aris, and then he has to plant 4 amos away from the entire aris. The many achalit sor achiyal madrega besulam. But if he needs a ladder, let's say, to harvest those grapes that are up on the balcony, ain osel israel tachas aris vavad. Then it's only prohibited to plant underneath the aris itself. Lachetes shneik salam hasmuchim zelaze. Let's say you have 2 walls that are perpendicular. Okay, one going this way, one going this way. That gefanim the tuim bezavius benam, and the grapes are planted in a corner between them. And let's say the trellis extends outward from the corner and ends in the middle of the area. So you have to plant your yarek the normal shear away from the base of the gefanim. And you have to plant in the area that's open, so to speak, where there's no aris over it. Even though the yarek is going to be between the 2 walls of the aris, since he had the right shear of distance, then it's permitted for him to, even though it appears like he's doing it in RS, it would be permitted to go ahead and plant the yarek there. Now, Kevin Shalah Ha'eit Shalom in Aretz Ma'at. Let's say you have a, what do you call it? The base trunk of the Geffen grows from the ground a bit. And then what does it do? It bends and kind of moves along the ground. And then it comes up like a knee. Okay. So what do we measure from to determine 6 versus 4? Okay. Depending on how far we have to go, you measure from the end of the knee part and not from the base. I'll show you what that looks like right now. One second. That looks like this. Okay. If you look here, okay, this is the ikker, the actual ikker of the Geffen. This is the arkova, like the knee. See how this looks like a knee? So you don't measure from this part here. You measure from the, so to speak, the bending point of the knee. Okay. So that's halacha yet. Okay. One second. Halacha yet aleph. Okay. So the Ram, now the Ram is going to start, what do you call it? Summing up these halachas. Halacha yet aleph. So we already know that even though a person extended the zera and the geffen following the rules, either 6 tefachim or 4 amos, you always have to make sure that one does not provide shade or is draped over the other. Okay, so I can't have the leaves of, let's say, my vegetable over the geffen. Let's say I planted a vegetable and then it grows, and then after it grows, then I put the geffen over it. So the straw is actually permitted, but the grain itself, let's say it was a grain case, I have to burn. If the roots of the geffen start exposing themselves within the arba amos between karam and grain, got to pull them out. But if the roots of the grains come out between the grain area and the grape area, then it's mutter to retain them. Right, so all the measurements that the Rambam was talking about, all of them are, what do you call it? All of them are, I'll get that in a second. All of them are when we deal with an Amma, okay, it's 6 normal Tvachim. Okay, that's what we're talking about by Tvachim, 6 regular, average. And you don't be so the exactitude you have is difficult. You can't be, you can go overboard. Because you only use that for cases of being machmir. Halachi gimel. Kol shiurin ha'ilu shemarchikim ben gafanim batua or yarek in el abit shtral abasuria. So all these measurements that we're talking about, these only apply to in Israel or in conquered land. Okay, aval chutzlar, it's like, let's say, the U.S. Mutal Israel b'sad gafanim b'sof karen b'chafila. You can plant your wheat right next to your vine, no problem at all. Lo asu b'chutzlar, it's el izor shnei min yarek atua imachert achartzam b'polos yad. The only Isser and Chutz La'aretz is to take together, like in your hand, for instance, let's say grains and then let's say grape seed and together plant them as one. Then Mar Malatino Nachri, if I told a non-Jewish baby, a child, Israel of Chutz La'aretz Mutter, if I told a non-Jewish child to plant this and Chutz La'aretz is Mutter, Abelo Yomar Lenachri Gadol Shalis Chalap Yisrael. But you shouldn't go ahead and tell a, what do you call it, an adult, what do you call it, to do it, because that's not the right thing to do. Finally, what do you call it? Halachi Dalad, Alfi Shemut Lizua Yarek was out of Karim Chutzarat, even though you're allowed to plant, let's say, vegetables next to vineyard outside of Eretz Yisrael. Hari Osa Yarek has a Ruah Sham, Asa Brachila. However, that vegetable will be Asa to eat. Rafilu Chutzarat. Hush Yira Osa Lokein or Mocher. That's only a situation where you see the owner harvest it and then sell it. Aval Sveika, but if it's Safik Mutter, Kumish Ram, Rebels Machat Suras. If it's a Safik, then we say it's Mutter. Someone pointed out, yes, farmers had to know about Halacha. But you also see, if you recall early on, Bazin sends out officers of the court to check people's fields. So you see that the level of trust that existed wasn't that high. I imagine as a general rule of thumb, for those who adhere to halacha, they would just avoid ever planting this stuff next to each other. And that's how you get out of the problem. But yes, like any area halacha, you always have to be knowledgeable about what is taking place. Okay, let's do parak test as well. Parak test is short. It deals with a new area of kilayim. We saw the issur before, and that is causing two different animals to mate with each other. Okay, so that's going to be this part. Halacha aleph, markiv zachar al makeva. Notice the term markiv. Markiv means to graft. Here, obviously, we're combining together, let's say, a male and a female, she'enu mino, or so again, male from one species, female from a different one. Bein behema bein b'chayav of, doesn't matter if it's domesticated, undomesticated, or birds. Even like, what do you call them? types of animals from the ocean. Harizel lokem minatara, you get malchus, mikomakom, anywhere, bein be'aretz, bein chutzar. So this is not a mitzvah, an iser tuli of aretz, so to speak. This is everywhere. Shenemar behemtecha lo sobriya kalayim, your animals. Ve'echa behemachai ba'ov shalo, o shal chavero. It could be mine, or it could actually be my friends. Okay, if I'm over the iser also. Bein alokat, shiachnis biyado, kimachol b'shoferes. So that's the key. So in order to be over the iser, you have to actually insert the organ of one, the sexual organ of one, into the sexual organ of the other. But let's say I just created a situation. I put one animal on top of the other, right? Or let's say I told them, I instructed them, go have sexual relations with each other. Machnas o machnas martis. So can that get rabbinical machnas? But again, in order to be over the iser, you have to actually perform the action on behalf of the animals, I guess. Okay, luck of is. Mutal hachna shnei minin lisaracha. Okay, now I can put two different animals in one, let's say, pen. Then ra'o some rovim zedzeh, right? And let's say I saw them mating. Eino zakol kafrishon. I don't have to go ahead and separate them. But I can't, a Jew can't give his animal to a non-Jew to go ahead and have them fornicate with each other if they're two different species. Okay, luck of gimel. Misha avar behirkev hemto kilayim. So let's say someone did this. He got animal A to mate with animal B, and I produced behema kilayim. Harei nolam hem mutar b'hana. Again, not like Karen. The animal that's born is permitted to benefit from. Vimaya min tahara, imin tahara. Now let's say I mated species A that was kosher with species B that was kosher. Mutar b'achila. I can eat the animal. Kosher animal. Chalas soros. No problem there whatsoever. Alachadala. Shemi ne behema ochaya shedom zelazeh. Now, of course, one of the challenges is what defines a species as a species. So let's say I have two animals that are look like each other or are similar. Right? Even if they hang out together, and they're similar to each other, right? But they're still considered two different species. They're still considered kilayim, and I can't have them mate with each other. So what are examples? Ketza. Hazev im hakelev. Okay, so for instance, a wolf and a dog. Hakelev a kofri im a shual. So this is another type of dog with a fox. That's Zvaim, Ma'izim, Ma'yalim, Ma'merchelim, Susim, Ma'parad, Ma'parad, Ma'hamar, Ma'hamar, Ma'arad. Remember, all these cases, mules, donkeys, etc., they're very similar, but they're considered Kilayim. Afish Domin Zelazai, even though they're similar, Haran Kilayim Zebazai, they're still considered Kilayim. Halachahe. Min Sheshbo Midvare, Vishuve, Kigon Shor, Habar, Imashor. Okay, so let's say there's a min that has in it both things that are domesticated and things that are not domesticated. So you have like these wild oxes. All right. So let's say you have a wild ox and an ox. Right. So if a species has in it a domesticated and a wild version or undomesticated version, that's considered one min. But these are types of geese or ducks. They're considered kilayim. Because one kind of duck has the eggs are inside, or excuse me, its testicles are inside. The other one, its testicles are outside. We call shahim shemin, and that makes them two different species. Koi is almost like an androgynous. It's like an animal where it straddles the fence between domesticated and undomesticated. So it's kilayim with either one. But we don't get malchus for it because it's a suffix animal. What its status is. So anything born through these prohibited matings. Imahayu imosean min echad, right? So if the mother is from one species, mutal arkim and zalza, right? So then it is mutter to have one with the other. Vimayu shnei minin, but if the mothers are from two different minin, asul arkim and zalza, vimirkim loka, then I can't go ahead and engage in that mating. Vechayim herchav zeha nolad afila min imo loka. So even if I went ahead and took the nolad from this mother and then had it mate with the min of the mother, meaning other animals from that min, loke, I get malchus. Ketza, what's an example? So perech imo chamor. Okay, so I have a male mule, right, whose mother is a donkey. Mutal akivo ar pirda, right? I can go ahead and mate that with a female mule, sheima chamor, whose mother is a donkey. Vasal akivo afila chamor. However, I can't mate it with something, an animal of another species. Aval perech imo sus. Let's say you have a male mule whose mother is a horse. Then I can't mate it with the species of the mother. Shimo chamor. Let's say therefore if someone wants to mate a male and female mule together, bodek b'simane oznaim. So what do? You check the ears, the zanav, the tail, the kol, and their voices. So if they sound alike, we know that they're from one, the mother's from one min, and therefore it would be permitted. Kola osa malacha mishne mini behema. Okay, there's another one on halacha. I cannot do agricultural labor using these two different species, two different animal species together. Okay, so we're switching gears a little bit. Kola osa malacha mishne mini behema chaya ke'echad. Right, so if I do the work with two of the species animals together, the haya echa mehen min tahara v'sheni min tameha. Let's say one is a kosher one and one's not. Hareza loka b'chol makom. You get malchus no matter where you are. Because it says, shenemar lo sacharosh b'shor uvachamor yachdav. Right? Echad achoresh. Doesn't matter if I plow or zerei or plant or moshe b'hem agala. Or even if they're pulling like a carriage. Or even or even if they're or a stone. Ke'echad as one. Oh, he nigun ke'echad. Or he directed them as one. If you live a call, even if he directs them vocally, lokesh, nemar yachta mikol makom, right? So even using a voice to direct them would be a problem. Aval amizavgan patar achim shokol yanik. Okay, but let's say he just like ties them or ties the ropes to a wagon, but doesn't actually lead them along, right? Then he'd be patar, right? Because he hasn't actually directed them yet. Okay, lacha ches echad shor v'chamor echad kol shnei minim, right? So it could be the pasuk says shor and chamor, okay, which is ox and donkey. But it could be other different species. As long as one's kosher and one's not. Right? So it wouldn't matter, for instance, a pig and a lamb. It's undomesticated, undomesticated. Right? So which is a deer and an elephant. Because undomesticated is part of the regular animals. The point is you get makos in all these kinds of situations. Of course, Chazal step in and say, what? Shnei minin shehen kil'ayim b'harva. Okay, now they want to, in a sense, by creating this chumrah, they want to make life a little bit simpler. So anytime there are two minim that are prohibited to mate with each other, asur lachosh ben ke'echad, then I also can't do, I can't have them do labor for me together or plow together. L'mashon l'anigan. They must have hemelacha ke'echad, l'mashach onigan. And if I did do that, machos o'machos martyrs. So Chazal come along, and they, even though there's no deraisa issue for this, they say to keep you removed from mating them, you can't even work with these animals together. I can't go ahead and lead an animal that's an earthbound animal with an animal that's from the sea, like a seal. I could go in Azim Shabbat, Bimasa Pater. Okay, so, and if I did so, that would be Abi Pater. Alacha test. Agala Shayim Moshkun Sakilayim. Yoshab Galoka. So let's say I have a carriage. It's being drawn by two animals that cannot be doing work together. Okay, I sit in that agala. I get malchus for that. Even though I didn't direct them to, because when I put my weight on the carriage, it's going to cause the animals to start moving. Let's say one guy's sitting in a carriage and one guy is like, you know, holding the ropes and leading it along. Both get malchus. Even if it's 100, all these situations, you would get malchus. It is permitted, okay, for a person to do malacha with a person and an animal. So I can go ahead and plow my field alongside my ox. So for instance, let's say a man and a donkey are pulling a carriage together. So it means the two animals together, not a man and an animal. Finally, lafiyat aleph, behemas psulei hamukdashim. Okay, so let's say an animal set aside its korban on the base of mikdash, and it develops a mum. Afi shehi guf echad asah kasev. So even though it's one animal, afi shehi guf echad asah kasev shnei gufin. Even though it's one animal, the Torah treats it like two different animals. Mnei shehaiset kodesh, because it was once kodesh. Menases kichodesh ukichol mu rabin zevazez. Now it's considered both kodesh and chol mixed. Nipses behemazu kibehemat tmeya imatara. So this animal, it's a fascinating halachic idea. This animal becomes one that has in it both the status of being tamei and tahor. It's like two in one. Harihu omer v'im kol mehem atzmei asher lo yakiru mena korban l'shem. P'ya shmul lamda, we learn that from the Gemara. Sheinu medabra ela b'psulim mukdashin. So what's the upshot? V'fikach, achoresh b'shor, psulim mukdashin, if I go ahead and plow with an animal that it can't be used as a korban anymore, okay, omar b'ya, or I made it, harizu loke mishum kilayim, avgim makos kos kilayim. This is Amidir Kabbalah. This is an Isser that's not in the Torah, but it's brought down in Torah Shabbat. Okay, we have one more parak to go. It's tomorrow. It's a little bit long, but we want to get it done. And that'll bring Hilchos Kilayim to a close. Tomorrow will be all the lachas of Shatnez.